such LA girls.
We are.
We are such LA girls. Salted plums.
Salted plums. And like chili saladitos.
Yes.
Can I have the chili saladitos? Yes. And then remember when they put them in the little red water?
Yes.
I didn't really like those too much. But I mean, if they didn't have the salted ones.
You like, I still take them.
I will. Girl, I will take that shit today.
Right. You're like, let me get some chicharrones. With the hot sauce. I don't want I don't want the ones that's already sprinkled in red. Give me the actual sauce. So my bag is wet.
Yes.
Let me get a dill pickle. And a Jolly Rancher. Thank you very much. Or a bag of Kool-Aid, please.
Girl, and be sucking on that shit all day long. Talking to people like,
right, like it's the best thing you ever had. What was one of the things you used to put in the pickle? It was something we used to put in a pickle.
You could put a Jolly Rancher stick or a candy cane.
Something, it was something sweet and spicy.
You could put the little chili saladitos in there too.
No, it wasn't. It was more like a hot tamale type flavor, like a spicy cinnamon something. Girl, it was so good with a dill pickle. Ooh. L.A. liquor stores.
L.A. liquor stores.
R.I.P. All mine went down with the riots, girl. Next. So what's up, y'all? We are back. It's another episode of the Brown Girl Hour with KC and T.
Hello. Sorry, y'all.
We on this apothic red.
I was sipping the vino. Y'all caught me slipping.
But today is our own personal little Black History Month celebration. And T and I decided that we would celebrate Black history by celebrating Black women. And have come together with our ideas of the Black women who have influenced us the most. And I'm going to go on record saying some famous, maybe some not so famous.
Okay. I actually picked famous people.
Okay.
But in my mind, I was like, I want to put down some folks who y'all don't know.
Right.
So hearing you say that, then that lets me know that I'm good with speaking on some of the folks.
Yes. And mine, I don't know about yours. Mine are in no specific order.
Yeah, mine aren't in order. And I wouldn't necessarily say that they've all inspired me, but these are like in my book of the most respectable women. Some have inspired me. Mm-hmm. And I think some are inspirational.
Yes.
But I respect them, you know.
Sounds good. So, who are you going to start with?
Okay, I'm going to start. I'll start with Ms. Ruby Dee.
Love her.
Wife of Ossie Davis. Just being an actress who always seemed to me to take on a respectable role. Mm-hmm. And every movie I always saw her in, mm-hmm. I always saw her as a Black woman. Mm-hmm. So I knew she was more than an actress. Mm-hmm. Like, I knew she was more than a celebrity. Like, my first interactions with her on TV and seeing her, I always just like, that's a Black woman. Mm-hmm. You know, whether she was interviewing or acting, she was just a Black woman, you know. And her respect for her husband and their marriage that they put out publicly. Now, no one knows privately, you know, what happened, but just from what I could gather, from seeing her in movies, she has the essence of Black woman. Like, that's a Black woman, you know? Yes. Like, you can call her grandma, you can call her auntie.
Mother, sister.
Yes. Just something about her lets me know she's a Black woman before everything.
Yes.
Before everything, you know, before Hollywood, before acting, before a wife, before Ozzy, she's a Black woman.
Yes.
So she made my list. That's the first person I wrote down.
Okay. Well, I would go first and put out Ms. Diane Carroll. And for a lot of the same reasons, but I have a personal Diane Carroll story.
Nice.
One, my mother raised me watching so many old classic Black films, and she is from that era. So many of the old films like... Claudine, but even older than that, like Carmen Jones, You know, she was there with Dorothy Dandridge and Pearl Bailey and all of those actors back then. And, you know, she was a really young woman in the game at the time and just, you know, was very fortunate enough to maintain a career that has lasted several decades. But I had a student in one of my earlier years as a teacher who was into acting, and I was his drama teacher. And he was doing a play in Pasadena, and so I went to go see his play, not really knowing much about the play beforehand. And as it turns out, he was on the stage with two women who are on my list, one being Diane Carroll and the other Felicia Rashad. And because I was his teacher, I was allowed to go backstage and talk to the cast.
Right.
And when I stood before those two women, and I'm going to start with Diane Carroll first.
So, you know, Felicia almost made my list, too.
Okay.
And when I say almost, it was I was writing this and then I just laid it down. But in my head, I was like, because her sister's on my list.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Like Felicia. Diane Carroll, you talk about old, authentic Hollywood glamour. Like, I knew that I was standing in the presence of a real diva, not this bullshit that we see on television, not this faux divaness. I mean, royalty.
She never told you she was a diva, did she?
Never had to.
She didn't say I'm a diva?
Never had
she to. She didn't call herself divalicious.
It wasn't tattooed on her, wasn't on her nails, nothing.
You mean to say she didn't say I'm divalicious?
No, not at all.
Oh. Imagine that.
And when I tell you she had to be at this time, all of late 60s, early 70s, skin flawless, hair flawless, outfit impeccable, like looking like royalty. And I stood there, you know, my mouth agape, just like, oh my God, like this is Diane Carroll. Like this is living legacy right here. And gracious. Sweet. And I was telling them, you know, I'm here to support my student Jovan. I'm his drama teacher. And I'm just so humbled that I'm here, you know, talking to you all. And I'm so proud of this boy,
right?
You know, because we were at Horace Mann, you know, which Horace Mann had its own ups and downs as a school, but you would not have expected a student coming from that school at that time to be working with actors of this caliber on stage.
Right. Stage work.
And in that moment, I just grew to have such a wonderful, my respect for her just grew 10 times. I already had a love for her from Claudine and the other films that we mentioned and just her whole filmography. But seeing her in that moment and just being in her presence really just, I was floored. Like, oh, right. My God, this is the real deal. This is what celebrity is about.
That's a star. That's a star. Right?
That right there is a star.
You, my friend, are not a star, but she is a star. Yes.
Amazing. Diane Carroll. And she's still kicking.
Yeah, when I walked in, I saw her up and I was like, dang it, how did I forget her? You know.
It's so many
her.
Of them.
You got to remember her from Dynasty.
Yes. Yes.
Shoot. Gave Alexis a run for her money.
Right, a black woman.
Yes.
Gorgeous black woman.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So now we're going to be sitting here like, oh, I should have put her too. Yes. I wanted her. Zora Neale Hurston.
Yes, girl, you know she's on my list.
I just love her fire. just her fire. Unapologetic.
Yes.
For being who she was. I forgot what I read, but I also read somewhere that she had a liking for the younger men also. And I was like, yes, get them, Zora, get them. Just fierce. And I love a woman that's unapologetic for who she is.
Yes.
You know, quiet women don't make history is what they say.
Hey.
And so the fact that she was bold and just herself and said and wrote, you know, if you read her works, you know, she... I don't know. It's just that fierce, that fire. She brought the fire.
Yeah. And you know what I love about Zora? Her skill as a writer.
Yeah.
Because she takes the time to write that dialect, our dialect, you know, which that's not easy.
Right.
That's not easy to write in that manner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's crafting.
Yeah. Just her fire speaks volumes, like, yeah. You know, and then, like, you just felt like she was human. She just reminded me of, like, an auntie, one of them old school aunts that you could have fun with,
yes.
Who spoke her mind, who spoke truth. And then, like, you know, people are going back, that's the shallow part. You know, but I just something about her, they're saying, you know, she loved younger men.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I'm so digging her. I'm so digging her. Not that I have a thing for younger men, but I'm just so digging her. Like, I'm 45 and I'm going to have me a 20-year-old. Multiples.
Yeah. And what,
like,
Go ahead.
Like, I'm comfortable in my skin. I am who I am. Accept me for who I am unapologetically. Right. I'm not going to try to make you understand me.
Yeah.
You either get me or you don't. And if you don't, that's your bad.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. I was just like, yes. And if they ever, 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 ever do a movie on her, I feel like Queen Latifah should play her.
Well, they look alike.
Yeah.
That would be a good role. They definitely favor. Yes. And the thing with Zora, when you think about her with history, you know, she was in environment in the Harlem Renaissance where she was one of
dominated
few,
by men.
Yeah, totally dominated by men. And she still maintained a very heavy presence and high respect from these men. You know what I mean? So she's a bad one.
Yeah, and I remember when I was in college, we went to Florida, and every year they have like the Zora Neale Hurston festival there because she's from Florida.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I just was like, I am in love with this woman. Like, oh, call me Zora. Middle name is Zora. I've just renamed myself.
Tori Zora.
Yes. Zora Neale Hurston.
Yeah. Well, in the same vein with authors, Toni Morrison. I think I love Toni Morrison so much because she did not publish her first book until she was 35. I love that. I love stories of people who didn't necessarily come out the womb doing exactly what they were meant to do and were millionaires by 21.
Right.
Because I think we can say, even though she was, I wouldn't call 35 midlife, but you know, you were 30 of the way into your life.
Right.
And she's had such a grand impact in the following 30 years
in regard
to her writing. And I appreciate her depth of knowledge, her skill, her complexity. I respect it. I've read all of her works and still it has taken me way too long to thug through this last one, A Mercy. I'm like, yeah, you got me on this one, sister. You got me. My grad school mind is turned off and I can't even do it like I used
Toni,
to do.
Toni.
You done put one on me now. The book ain't even that thick. I feel bad about myself.
Right. You know, but that's the beauty of it, right?
Yeah.
Somebody that can take you deep, that takes you away from what's typical.
And what I love is that she touches on subject matter that is familiar to us, but that is something that in the Black community
is taboo.
Right. We covet it. We don't discuss it. We're not going to talk about the older man in the family who we know is actually a pedophile. You know what I'm saying? We're not going to talk about the fact that we know that, you know, sister such and such is sleeping with brother such and such right next door.
Right.
You know, we're not going to talk about those stories of, you know, illegitimate children or children brought into relationships under questioning. You know, we don't get into the sordid parts of our history. Right. And she goes right to it.
Right. She does. Right.
And makes that her source and unpacks it. And I also love that she is the sort of author that I can, for the works that I have completed, go back to and find something new in them again and again.
Right. Yeah. Every time you pick it up, you'll find something new.
Yeah.
You certainly will.
Yeah.
I'll go with Mae Jemison.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. How could we not?
Yeah.
You know, just because when we talk science, most people don't see the face of a Black woman, you know, and you got to respect intelligence. I respect intelligence, you know, there's nothing more respectable to me than intelligence.
Yes.
And so she just makes me proud to be a Black woman, to be able to be like, no, there was a Black woman in space.
Right.
You know, there was a Black woman in space.
Right.
You know, the Endeavor. Is that what it's called?
The space shuttle.
The space shuttle that's here. Mm-hmm. Like for me, I'm like, a Black woman was on that. a black woman was on that.
Yeah.
You know, it's so interesting. A friend of mine, she just had a baby like a week ago. And I was on the phone with her when she was at the hospital and it delivered. And the doctor was coming in. And the doctor was talking about all the things that the baby had. You know, the jaundice and everything. And it was a white doctor. I could tell by the voice. Mm-hmm. You know, forgive me, y'all, but I couldn't. And he said something that just stuck to me. He was like, yeah, she's going to be off. That's fine. When he was speaking about the jaundice and everything that was going on, he said, for some reason, Black females do the best. And that's the part that just stuck out to me, like, Black females do the best.
Like, yes.
Yes.
You know, we know this.
We know this. And he's talking about somebody that's only like 2 hours old.
Right.
You know, he's talking like medical. But, you know, Mae Jemison just makes me proud. Yeah. You know, like, we can be smart. We can be intellectual.
Yes.
Like, deep, you know, like.
Yes.
Deeper than what we imagine, you know, deeper than, you know, having a quick mouth and a sassy mouth and being funny and knowing how to read, way deeper than that.
Right.
Like, it like really in the world of like knowledge, like scholar.
Yeah,
like
we are
scientists,
scholars.
You know, and so she just makes me proud. You know, I always say it, she makes me proud to spell my name W-O-M-A-N. Like, I love that quote. And Mae Jemison does that. It's inspiring. I use her quite often when I'm talking to little girls who, you know, in school sometimes they're smart, and then there's a different kind of smart that people kind of write you off as weird and different.
Yeah.
When you're a different kind of smart.
Yeah.
And you don't know what I'm talking about unless you yourself have that kind of smart or you've witnessed it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's that kind of smart that kind of isolates you from everybody else. And people think you're weird.
Yeah.
And they don't associate it necessarily with a black woman. With a black woman that has a little short afro. And to know and to be able to share with little girls that it's okay to love science. It's okay to love math. It's okay to be different.
Right.
It's okay to be quote unquote weird.
Right.
You know, we can live in that world too. You know, Mae Jemison just for me says we can live in any world we want to live in.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so she made my list also, because it's just like a level of respect for that intellect, that wisdom, that scientist. Like, I'm in that world too.
Right.
You know,
girl, and I'm loving this because our lists are very parallel. I am going to bring somebody to the table who I think is probably not as widely known as she should be. And I have another personal story. Oh, this is great. Her name is Norma Merrick Sclerick. Norma Sclerick. Norma Sclerick was the first black woman architect licensed in the states of New York and California.
Huh, holla.
And she's important to those of us Angelenos because she is the person who designed the original Fox Hills Mall.
Get out!
That was her design. And I had the good fortune of meeting Ms. Sclerick when she received her Lifetime Achievement Award through the American Institute of Architects when I was doing PR for architects and interior designers at the time.
Nice.
Gracious woman, sweet woman. And I remember like talking to her a little bit about it, and she was like, oh baby, I don't work anymore at all. But she was like, you know, it's great, you know, because architecture, like, just like Mae Jemison's field, architecture is one of those fields that's completely dominated by men and really not really no people of color at all, right. Male or female.
Right, right,
you know
right.
what I mean? And so for a black woman to be licensed in two of the most major states, you know, and she was born in New York, she's from Harlem.
Holla, Harlem stand up.
Yeah, like major. You know what
that
I'm saying?
That is.
Major. And she worked with some of the best. Like, she was so very revered, I remember, at this event. Because the world of architecture, I mean, if y'all don't know, that's the elite of the elite. You know what I'm saying? Those people are in a different tax bracket.
Right.
Than most of us. But the work that they do, you know, it's not about sitting around and just sketching buildings. I learned so much in regard to just how that world works while I was in that field for a time. It really, there is a level of science and mathematics that you need to understand in order to design anything that anybody could consider inhabiting a house, you know, right. Much less a building. And so, you know, I was just in awe of her accomplishments. I was in awe seeing her amongst her peers and how highly respected she was. And so Norma Sclerick, Sklareck, if you have not heard of her,
yes.
Google her. She passed away in 2012. I feel very grateful that I had a chance to actually be in her presence.
Wow, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
So I could not create this list and not put this next woman on my list and all my dancers. Get in first position. Miss Debbie Allen.
Yeah.
Oh, I love me some Debbie Allen.
Yeah, yeah.
Love me some Debbie Allen.
She's the bomb.
Love me some Debbie Allen. And let me tell you why. Not only do I respect her as an artist, as a dancer, but her dedication to keeping the arts alive and recognizing that this is what our children love to do. And making it something that they can do, turning it into a passion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she has a dance academy here. And she is so adamant, you know, about making sure that these kids have somewhere to go to get this out of them. She recognizes that our children love to dance. Our children love music. They love the arts. And that we've got to tap into them and let them just be free.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And let them do it.
Yes.
And let them know that there's, you can be famous because of this. You can take this. This can take you all around the world.
Right.
And her commitment to like inner city children is not just, because let me just say this, you know, there are some, the Debbie Ellen Dance Academy, Dada, it is not just African-American children. There are children of all races, all ethnicities, of all socioeconomic backgrounds come in. Their families are rushing them down to Crenshaw for them to learn under Debbie Allen's staff.
Right.
But she still has a heart for the kid who cannot afford that, but who she knows
has
that passion and that desire and that fire, and she makes them work for it, you know. And the kids highly respect her, and I still respect her. I am so jealous that my goddaughter has a picture with Debbie Allen, and my goddaughter got the picture with Debbie when she was like 5, you know, and I was just like, I am 37 years old, and I have not yet got a picture with this woman, but I just love her, her spirit, her commitment to keeping the arts alive, her love for the kids, you know, giving them this outlet to let them sing and rap and dance, let them be them, but at the same time putting that discipline in them, like, you ain't gonna get in the spotlight just because you like the spotlight.
Right.
You know, everybody knows that. Everybody knows you want fame, well, fame costs. She believes that. She passes it on, and to see her and her husband, you know, work with this academy and to keep it going, and he always jokes like, you know, my wife got me on here begging for money, and there are all the little kids walking around with their little buckets asking for donations, and not to keep the school open, but as a means to provide scholarships for students who couldn't afford the school because she has to pay the teachers.
Right.
At the end of the day, you're like, well, she can just teach for free and stand in the dance studio all day long, but she's got to pay her teachers because she has teachers that come in. And who doesn't want to say, I've worked with Debbie Allen?
Right.
So she's got teachers from all over that come in and just provide children with the opportunity. Like, you know, our kids, so many of our kids love dance.
Right.
You know, I was one of those kids, you know.
Right.
And to just expose them to like different genres of dance and let them know that dance is, it's universal. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't go anywhere on the planet where you won't find people dancing, and to expose them to that and give them something to be passionate about, you cannot help but love. She's just fire.
Yeah.
She's fire. Is. She's fierce. She gets on stage. So she's still, I'm like, you know what? I love me some Debbie Allen.
Yeah.
So she had to go on my list, y'all.
Yeah. I've loved her since fame.
Yes. You want fame? Well, fame costs.
Right.
And right here is where you start paying in sweat.
So I got to, of course, just go ahead and bring up her sister, Felicia Rashad.
Hey.
And you know what? That is my dream. Lord, if you're listening right now, I'm just going to go ahead and put that out there. Should I have another child? I already know the one you gave me is going to be dynamic. But can I have two?
Right. How do you get two dynamic women in one family?
Man. Right. Their parents just have to be like, man, we just dusting shoulders all day long. That's like, just, you know, kill that rumor that what's her name is they like... sister. Have you ever heard that rumor?
No.
Vanessa Del Rio is supposed to be their sister.
Really?
Whatever. If they, she is, they ain't claiming her. We sticking with these two.
Right, we gonna roll with these two.
Man. Wow. Felicia, same time I met Diane, and I honestly had a more intimate moment with her because I went to go speak to her, because this is a woman that, as far as, you know, my television experiences growing up, I mean, she was the black mother on TV.
Right.
You know, she was it. This was Claire Huxtable. Right. And I talked to her, and I know I had tears in my eyes, and the woman held my hands.
Aww.
And just looked at me and listened to me as I was just going on and on about how much I loved her. And she Aww. Hugged me and told me I was doing a good job with my student because he was a wonderful actor. And grace is the word that comes to mind when I think of Felicia Rashad. Just grace.
Yeah.
Straight up walking grace.
Yes.
I mean, nothing. Grace.
Yeah. And she played the hell out of her character in For Color Girls. I know a lot of people didn't like that movie and were like, Tyler, don't you touch it. but she played her role so well.
And you know what breaks my heart when I think about Felicia Rashad? It wasn't until they had that, was that a 25-year or a 30-year anniversary of the Cosby Show? Something that they did. And Bill Cosby made the point at the end that out of all those years, She never received an Emmy, a Golden Globe, like any sort anything. Of nomination or recognition for her work.
Right.
And which
talented.
To me is absolutely ludicrous that that body of work could be completely ignored and denied
right.
by her peers. The woman is brilliant.
She is. She is. I mean, I can still watch her. Like I said, I still watch her,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow.
Yeah.
Her and her sister.
Yeah. Love them. Love Pack you guys.
Them up, put them in our pocket. Take yes. them with us. Yes. Spend a whole day with them.
Yes.
Wherever they want to go.
I feel like your aunties.
Yes. Auntie Debbie and Felicia.
Yes.
So then I will go with Miss Deborah Lee.
You know, I was thinking about Mistress Lee. Yes.
You know, how can you not respect a woman that just yeah. steps into any field and master it?
Yeah. Yeah, you she's know, bad.
She's a bad girl. You know, people have their complaints about BET and everything and what it is and what it isn't. But anytime a woman steps in and leans in, she got my vote, you know, and she's been consistent. Mm-hmm. She always handles herself and carries herself like a lady,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
When people give her props. You know, she just smiles, but she's doing big things. You know, she's in an industry that's dominated by men.
Mm-hmm.
And for her to make the strides that she does and her commitment to our people,
yes.
you know, people get mad about BET because there's some buffoonery, but there's still a commitment to our people.
Yes.
That she, you know, she's made, you know, and that she sticks to. And she got to be a bad girl. You know, don't let the gown and the makeup and that tapered haircut fool you at the award shows. Mm-hmm. To be able to run an empire like that, she got to be a bad girl pushing,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
pushing some weight behind the scenes and calling some shots. And if you're a shot caller and you're pushing weight and you're holding your own, I can't do nothing but respect you.
Yeah.
You know, it's inspiring for me to be like, I can do something great. You know, I can be a leader in what I do. I can be the top dog in what I do. And no matter what field you go into. And I think that's my list, really. When I look at my list, that's one of the commonalities of all the women. Like, for me, they show me and show all of us that no matter what field we step into, we can be the top dog.
Right.
You know, and handle it with grace.
Right. I would agree. I'm trying to figure out which way I'm going to go next on my list. You know, it's I have two ladies with the last name Waters. I'm going to go with the first one, Ethel Waters.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Ethel Waters because I think she is one of our old stars that does not get the shine that she should because she was not conventional.
Right.
You know, she was a full-figured woman with one of the most amazing voices ever. I think Ethel Waters has one of the most beautiful singing voices I've ever heard.
Right.
And I've seen her in several films throughout her career. And she always delivered. She always delivered. And of course, I love every other actress that came up at that time. The Dorothy Dandridges, of course. The Lena Horne. I mean, Lena Horne in and of herself.
And Lena's on my list.
Yeah. I mean, Lena is an icon,
right.
period. You know what I'm saying? She really set a standard for us. I feel, though, like actresses like Ethel Waters, and there's a few others, they, not that they were ignored, but they definitely
were overlooked.
Completely.
Yeah.
And it's just because they didn't fall into what was acceptable.
Beautiful.
Right. What was digestible, to mm-hmm. be quite honest, for
yeah,
white
what
America.
Was digestible. I like that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And, but I think that every single time she was in a film with her peers, she held her own. She was mm-hmm. not somebody who I believe on screen could ever be pushed aside because most of her roles were lead roles.
Right.
You know? And I just love Ethel Waters. I really, really respect her. I would love to see her story brought to the screen, even if it was a small screen.
Right.
Because I think she has a really interesting experience and perspective being the character that she was, right. you know, during that time period. And so, yeah, Miss Ethel Waters.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to hit y'all with old school, very old school. Miss Mary McLeod Bethune.
Yay!
Strong women, you know. Need I say more? Strong women,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Strong women. Shout out to Bethune Cookman. Although I'm a Hampton girl,
H-U.
Yes, H-U. The real H-U, by the way. I love you, Howard, but y'all know we the real H-U. Yeah, Mary McCall. I love strong black women who stand for something, you know, that are educated and just make their own way. Like, clear the forest and make my own path. Like, I'm not sitting back waiting on nobody. I'm going to make my own path. If you make your own path, I can't do anything but respect that. And to think of the time when she was coming up and the time that she lived, that was one of the most difficult eras to live in. Yes. And to still be strong enough and bold enough and courageous enough to say, I'm going to do this.
Right.
You know, I'm going to make strides for my people and stand up for what I believe in and speak on what I believe on. And, you know, the college that was her college, her school, that's big.
Right.
To do big things in a time of like that,
it's huge.
You know, some of us struggle now to just do big things in our own lives, but to do big things that would impact the lives of others in a time that's difficult says a lot about who you are. Like, yes. Number one, bold and courageous, yes. And strong.
Yes.
And how often do we meet that?
Right.
You know, bold, courageous, and strong. You know, so yes, Miss Mary McLeod Bethune.
I am, you know, this woman, there's so many people in this particular industry that I could draw up on, but there's something about this woman and the way she does what she does that means a lot to me, and that's Patrice Rushen. Because there's so many women in the music industry, but Patrice Rushen, to me, she goes beyond entertainment in the sense that she's a woman who was an actual composer. She writes music.
Right.
And to me, it's evident in the work that she's created and the level of respect that she's able to garner. Like, she works at this point in her career, she's more background, more educator. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But the music that she put out, we still listening to it now. You know what I'm saying? You, if You Remind Me comes on at a function, we're all in our groove. You know, and think about all the songs that spun out of that one. Same thing with, you know, her other singles, Forget Me Nots, and she had a few others. But there's something about Patrice Rushen in the position of composer. That is a role that is usually filled by men,
right?
And she wears that. She wears those pants quite comfortably, you know. And
yes,
I like that. And she's behind a lot of soundtracks of movies that we've watched, you know, and scores of films that we've watched. And I love her for the work that she's done. And the thing is, she was doing this as a very young woman. Patrice Rushen now is only 59 years old, and her career is at least 30-something years.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So it's been some time that she's been doing what she's been doing as far as, you know, being a producer, being a composer, you know, songwriting, directing music, and singing. You know what I'm saying? Just she's, to me, pretty much, you talk about all around, triple threat is not the right term for her. I just think she's one of those people, as far as music is concerned, that's part of the foundation of what it is that we have when we think of current day R&B and even modern jazz. I put her right there with Herbie Hancock. You know, I know Herbie's done everything, but to me, she's right there. She would be a colleague of his, a peer of his.
Hey, now. We bad, y'all. Women are bad.
We are.
So the next on my list, and this should be no surprise, I didn't say her first, and neither of us have hit on her, Miss Maya Angelou.
Of course.
Yes. who's one, you know, we can just go on and on. Ego tripping. Phenomenal woman.
Yes.
You know, she's the one who says, I spell my name W-O-M-A-N. she just really brings to light what it means to be a woman.
Yeah.
A woman of color.
Right.
And so wise. Like, just a beautiful, like, when she says things, you're like, what?
Right.
Girl, stop. Why does everything out your mouth sound like that?
Right.
You know, like, honey, sweet. Church. Like, yes. Like, honey, sweet. I want to swallow it and just be like, room, woman. But Miss Maya Angelou, her body of work, we could all go on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But aside from her body of work, what she stands for, mm-hmm. you know, and just speaking into the lives of women, mm-hmm. And the beauty of women and the struggles of women and, mm-hmm.
And that confidence.
And that confidence, right. You mm-hmm. know, phenomenal woman, like, psh, like, if you read that, you be walking around here like, my shit don't stink.
Not even a little
Not
bit.
Not even a little bit. Pretty women wonder where my secret lies. You know, right. You're like, what?
Right.
Girl. Yes. And the ego tripping. All of that stuff. I know why the cage bird sings. Mm-hmm.
And when you know her own story yes, of, you know, being a young woman who was
raped and yes. Yeah. Just her struggles and still making it. And mm-hmm. just she makes you proud to be a woman,
yeah.
you know, and lets you know you can be okay to be a woman. And one of not her last, but one of the things she has out, Letters to My Daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so amazingly written. You know, she's not afraid to talk about love and that we can fall in love and we get our heart broken and bounce back from it. Mm-hmm. Just all of it, you yeah. know, and she's cool. You know, yeah. she's cool as hell. Like, I'm like, is she 80? Is she that cool? Like, she talks, you know, she's still cool and accepted by all. So, Miss Maya Angelou.
Mm-hmm. So, it seems appropriate that my next person would be Oprah Winfrey. And,
okay,
you know, Oprah is, there's really not much I can say about Oprah. She's Oprah.
She's O.
Yeah.
Lady
saying,
O.
You know exactly what everything that comes with just being Oprah Winfrey, you know what I'm saying? And I think in regard to what it is we do here in our little lab, our studio, as far as podcasting is concerned, she is the model for what a woman like me wants to be. Somebody who has a voice and not only has the voice, but has the influence to bring microphones to other people's voices and right. amplify them. And that's something about Oprah that I will always respect and admire. You know, mm-hmm. people have their controversy with Oprah, just like any other and super famous and influential right. person. But I do think that she seeks to do good with most of her work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so grateful for the fact that she and another woman who I really highly respect and admire, Iyanla VanZant, made peace with whatever drama right. they had. Because to me, them two women together is just like a powerhouse situation. Right. Like, wow. You know what I'm saying? That's so much Black woman power right there.
Mm.
But I just love Oprah. I love Oprah for going against the grain. I love her for not being traditionally what Hollywood and all of entertainment would consider beautiful, and yet still making her stamp to the point where they all are saying she's gorgeous because right. she is.
Right.
I love
they
her.
They bow down.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, B. But if anybody was going to make a song called Bow Down Bitches,
it would be Oprah. Right.
You know, Beyonce, I feel you. You know, I got you. I got you. Girl, yeah. I throw my heels on and rock like you too. But right. yeah, if somebody was going to say Bow Down Bitches,
it's her.
It would be O.
I love her for being a Black woman billionaire. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I love her for being unapologetic and discreet about her relationships. None y'all's business.
Hello.
What's going on with me and Stedman? Just know he's here.
He's here. Right.
He's you know? Here. I love her for all of that, yes. you know, and I love her that.
And then she got a little ride or die. She brought Gail along. Yeah. Like, this is my ride or die.
She got her homegirl, which, you know, I love that they have this sisterhood between the two of them. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Because I can only imagine how difficult it is to create and maintain relationships in that kind of position. Right. I mean, hell, broke sisters can't get along.
Right.
Middle class sisters can't get along. So the Black billionaire sect, which is probably all of a party of one, it can't be that easy
right.
having all besties.
Right.
You know
exactly.
what I mean? And
exactly.
women who you can confide in and be honest with.
Right.
You know, and so I love her for being every ounce of who she is, and I appreciate her having the stage that she has.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, since we're on this Maya, Oprah, of course, then might as well go ahead and mention Miss Alice Walker.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because she also made my list. The first adult novel I read as a kid all the way through was Color Purple.
Yes.
From cover to cover, yes. over and over again. And loved it, you know,
mm-hmm.
And all of her bodies of work loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Just inspirational because they're different, you
yes.
know, different women that are different.
Yes.
And when I say different, not the stereotypical Black woman that we all expect to be loud and boisterous mm-hmm. in your face, snazzy, quick, and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But bringing humility to the scene. Because when I think of Alice Walker, I think of humility.
Yes.
I'm a humble spirit with a lot to say. A quiet storm with a lot to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just one of my favorite. I fell in love with her as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, it was one of the first adult novels that I ever read. And it's one of those books that I go back and every time I read it, I pull something different from it because it's on my iPad. And every time I see the movie, you know, I pull something different. And just there's certain little lines you got to catch, you know, that she writes that only as a woman you're like, yes, you know, I bet it pisses God off when we walk past the color purple and ignore it.
Yeah.
You know, again, another woman that makes you proud to spell your name, W-O-M-A-N, and feel good about being a woman. But Alice Walker, like one of my first authors, adult novel that I was able to read from cover to cover and just fell in love with her and felt proud. Like, I'm a woman, not good Lord. I was young, very young. And I remember a high school project and I explored feminism and her use of color towards feminism, her comparison between purple and lavender to define womanism. And I mean, I was in high school and low key was very, not even low key, very, very proud of being a woman. You know, I checked out, you know, my yearbook picture and I was going to add this woman to my list too, Miss Betty Shabazz. But that was my quote from Betty Shabazz, an uneducated woman cannot resist the temptation to correct an uneducated man. And I, these were women that I just fell in love with their words, their use of words to express who they were. And like, it was just so poetic. But yeah, Miss Alice Walker, hands down.
You know, and it's so funny. Our list might be really like lit heavy. And that speaks to who we are.
You are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think next for me, I was bouncing back and forth in my mind, like who should I go to next? But I thought of this woman who, you know, you got to love Essawan Bookstore, our local and truly now neighborhood bookstore.
Right.
I guess it always was, just depends on how close you are to it. But for them bringing in the Black authors and having, you know, live readings and book signings.
Yeah.
And I got a chance to meet Nikki Giovanni.
Nikki Giovanni.
Some years ago when she was here doing a reading and doing the book signing. And I would say she's probably the exact opposite of Alice Walker in terms of, not that Nikki is not humble.
Right.
But Nikki is, man, she is fire. Cracker, honey. It was church in Essawan that night. You hear me? She set it off in there so much. I mean, people were in there testifying.
Right.
And what I love about Nikki is, you know, she's unapologetically gay and woman-centered and woman-loving. And she's not going to make any... She's not going to have to explain that to you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I am who I am.
Right.
And that's why I think it's okay that we have women like from literature because they speak, they're more than just their bodies of work.
Yes.
They're more than just, because, you know, our list, we have celebrities and we have the authors, famous authors. But they're more than their bodies of work.
Yeah.
All of these women, they're more than their work, even though we're praising their work.
Right.
They're more than their work. Like the first thing you say is like, Black woman, hell yeah. Like Black woman,
yeah,
you know, and you look at all these women, they're so different,
completely.
They're also different. So, how you know, your definition of Black woman, if you look at these list of women, you know, if you look at the women on our list, that's so wide, it's such a wide spectrum,
yeah, they are. And I loved her energy in that space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love the work that she creates. Her poetry for me is some of the richest poetry coming from. I guess we wouldn't call her our generation, but from our time, from our lifetime, as a modern poetess.
Right.
And I just think her fire and her energy and her, again, unapologetic nature for being just who she is in this world. And I like the fact that Nikki is also an activist. She will quickly speak out against those things that she feels are unjust.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that she uses her, her fame and influence for those reasons.
Right.
And I don't think she uses it idly. Like, we don't see Nikki just popping up on the mic for any given reason. But if it's something that she's truly passionate about, you're going to hear her voice, you know, and That's what it is. I love that Nikki Giovanni is not afraid to make noise.
Right.
She's not afraid to make noise when she needs to. You know what I mean? And on top of being a gifted writer, you know what I mean? She's not afraid to make noise when she needs to. So yeah, shout out to Sister Nikki Giovanni.
Yes. Well then, since we're on the topic of noisemakers, we have got to mention Miss Angela Davis.
Of course. The noisemaker of noisemakers. Noisemakers. And if y'all have not seen Black Power Mixtape, you better go get it right now.
Power to the people. Power to the people. I don't even think I have to explain why Angela Davis is on there. Oh, right?
Man, if you don't go see Black Power Mixtape.
And did you see, what was the one that Jada Pinkett did with her on her life? Angela? Was it just called Angela? Mm-hmm.
They played that at the Pan-African Film Festival last year. I think it was just called Angela.
Come on. How could we not? You know, just
ride
a ride or die, right? Hey, every woman got to have a ride or die on her list. It's essential. It is mandatory. Get you a ride or die on your list.
Because it really shows the stuff that we are made of.
Yes, it does.
You know, women, we're so complex, I think, in the sense that we fall into these social roles. And a lot of us, I would say a good number of us, are happy to play those roles from time to time. Right. You know, I'll be the first to admit, I love to cook. I ain't got no problem switching in the kitchen at all. You know what I'm saying? I'm proud, and I'm proud of what I create when I'm there.
Right.
You know, but there's so much more to me than that. Yes. And I think
there's a lion in us. And they remind us there's a lion in there.
Right.
There's a lion.
And you can be all of that. You can cover all the ground you stand on. You don't have to fit into a box.
Yes.
You know? And like with that, I'm going to throw out on the table. And this is a woman who, look, girl, why have I run into everybody who I met? That's just being in LA.
How about that? Right.
When I met her, it was at the airport. And I'm going to be honest, she wasn't that nice. Mm-hmm. But I appreciate her body of work, and I'm going to explain why. The sister who we all know is Zane.
Oh. Okay.
And I'm about to Google her actual name for y'all real quick. What I love about her is that erotica is not something that's new to the game, but those of y'all that know me know that that's one of my quiet side activities. I like to write erotica. I have my own little erotica blog. And what I love, her name is Christina LaFern Roberts, a.k.a. Zane.
Zane. Y'all know Zane.
Right. What I love about Zane is that when she came on the scene, all of a sudden, there seemed to be a surge of Black women sexuality acceptance in that moment. You know what I'm saying? There weren't that many people who, or there weren't that many women that I knew at the time that weren't reading a Zane book.
Right.
You was in them Sex Chronicles.
Yes, you were.
You know?
I know.
And I think part of our community's taboo is withholding that side of us that is extremely sexual.
Right.
You know, our men are extremely sexual.
Right.
And I think we have all been taught, or a good number of us have been taught, to play that down. That's not something that ladies do.
Right.
You know, we always have to practice discretion. And there's nothing wrong, of course, with being discreet. In fact, I feel like there's some power to being discreet from time to time. But you also have to be aware of your sexuality. Because if you don't know your body, you sure enough can't help nobody else get to know your body.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think in that moment, she combined an interest in our sexuality with literature, you know what I mean, in erotica.
Right.
And I think erotica is sometimes not given its just due. It's played down. It's smut writing. You know what I'm saying? Anybody can write about fucking. Well, no, you can't. Try it.
Right.
Try it and let me know if you actually could craft a good story. It's not like putting together some Luke lyrics. It ain't the same thing. You know what I'm saying? It ain't the same thing. You know, and to do it to the point where you're appealing to both men and women.
Right. And you have a following.
Right. And you've told a good story when it's all said and done. You know, I think that is a definite skill. And so I respect the sister for not only organically creating a following for herself, but really becoming a millionaire in her skill, you know, and opening that door again to Black female sexuality and exploring the fact that women enjoy sex just as much as men.
Right. And that's okay.
Yeah. And it's all okay.
It's all okay.
Shout out to you, Zane. Mean or not.
I was getting ready to say something totally inappropriate.
Okay, you on the brown girl hour.
Brown girl hour. So the next person. So okay, so the next name I'm going to say is so on the other end of the spectrum. So we done just went in on Zane.
She going to say Coretta Scott King. Watch.
And be like, oh, hell no. Nah. No, she did not. So we just talked about Zane and our love for erotica and our ability to be in touch with our sexuality.
Yes.
And I'm going to bring up Miss Condoleezza Rice.
Connie. Hi, Connie.
I don't even know how, because my list, I didn't have anything that like harmonized with Zane. I'm on my list and I'm going through my list and most of my folks, and I'm like, damn, I'm on Condoleezza Rice.
Nah, but she's a bad one.
She's a bad one. Yes.
Dr. Rice.
Yes, you've got to give her respect. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Any woman that stands alone gets my respect. Mm-hmm. She stood, you know, black people didn't want to give her respect. Republican George Bush and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But you do not, you've got to only imagine what it takes to walk in those shoes.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And she did it.
Yes, she did.
And did it while enjoying football. Like, yes. What? You know, she's just, you know, she's cool. Like a woman that can stand on her own and go against the grain, for me, always gets my respect, whether I agree with her opinion or whether I agree with what she says and the way she does things and her thoughts has nothing to do with being able to respect a woman that brings a different perspective.
Right.
You know, we're not all going to have the same perspective.
Right.
We're not all going to stand for the same thing.
Right.
But that intelligence and her commitment to stand by what she believes in, for mm-hmm. me, that's what a black woman does.
Yes.
You know, that's what any woman does. Yes. Strong women stand behind what they believe in.
Yes.
I don't care if I'm the only one and 100 of you don't.
Right.
I'm going to stand behind what I believe in. I'm going to speak on it. I'm going to manifest it. I'm going to make it happen. And that's it. And yeah. I can't. How could you not respect that?
Right.
How could you not respect that? She did it with class. She did it with grace. She never lost her cool. You didn't see her lose her cool.
Right.
And so I have to give her respect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, Connie. I didn't mean to put you in there after Zane. Shit. Connie might got her own collection of the Sex Chronicles.
Yeah, you know she got a couple of them Zane novels stashed away.
I bet you she's cool to hang with. I bet you she's cool to hang with.
I believe it.
I bet you she is.
That would be a nice little bar night. We're going out and we're going to have drinks with Zane and Condoleezza Rice. Oh! What a conversation we about to have.
Yes.
And, you know, yes. I realize there's so many women we could go into. And mm-hmm. I'm going to move into the non-famous women, but I'm going
to
give.
I think that would be a great way to wrap up, too, given the respect to the non-famous.
I want to. I'm going to take 30 seconds and give an honorary mention to Whoopi Goldberg. And that's because she's somebody else who I love for just being who she is.
Yes.
Completely unapologetic. And what I do, from somebody who had a serious drug addiction to being who she is now, drug addiction and homelessness, to being who she is now. And I definitely get from Whoopi a true humility and appreciation for what she's been able to accomplish.
Right.
And being a comedian in a white man's world. Because we wouldn't necessarily classify Whoopi Goldberg as a black. She's a black female comedian, yes, but her comedy would not necessarily fall under black comedy the way we come to understand it.
Right.
But she has excelled in her milieu, and so I love her.
Yes.
But
shout out Whoopi.
Yes, Whoopi. Moving into
non-famous.
You know, I'm gonna start with she gonna beat my ass. Johnny Atkins. AKA Louise Jones, my grandmother. yes, who just made precious year 88.
Nice.
On January 30th. And y'all that know me know that I reference my granny a lot because there is not a woman that is more wiser in my life. Mm-hmm. She has She has put a lamp to my feet for my path my whole life and has always come to me keeping it trill. Mm-hmm. Never really mincing her words or trying to sugarcoat the world for me, but mm-hmm. really saying to me, honey, look at my life and my experiences and let my mistakes be your mistakes and you make a better choice.
Right.
Because she knew her fiery Aries, Rams, horns out, oldest grandbaby, eldest grandchild right. was going to be the person that was like, I don't believe it's hot until I touch it. Let me touch this stove.
Right. Let me
let me get a sizzle and a blister first.
Let me touch it.
I'm going to touch it anyway. And, you know, she was never, my granny has never been like, well, no, let me not say that. My granny is stubborn. She mm-hmm. want what she want. And if she, she will put pressure on that ass. Like she tell me now, I would like another grandchild before I die. Not fair to say that to me, granny.
Right. So not.
Right. But everything she's ever brought to me is coated in love. And she would always right. tell me, you know, I have agape love for you.
Hmm.
And I said, really, granny? She said, yeah. And that means I love you unconditionally. I love you more than anything. Mm-hmm. I have that kind of love for you, no matter what happens in this world. And then, of course, when my child was born, she told me she ain't love me as much as she used to. Because now she loves him.
Keeping it
very trill. But what I love about my grandmother, again, and she's an honest woman, she went through a lot. Mm-hmm. She's had a very, very interesting life story, one that I'm in the process of documenting, her and my great-grandmother. She's definitely a country girl mm-hmm. by way of, like I said, the Gullah Islands. And that part of her is very much her foundation and things that she's passed on to me. As much as she says she hates to cook, she's passed on to me a love for it.
Right.
And she's also taught me to appreciate when you have a good man in your life or good men in your life.
You respect them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Having a respect for a good man and for family. How important that is. And I just love her. I just love my Aww. Granny. And so, yes, my grandmother, Louise Jones. I love you, granny. You are the absolute best.
Oh. So, of course. Did y'all just fall in love with Kim's grandmother? She's my woman crush Wednesday. I mean, I didn't even Wednesday. but we have a shortage of those women, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I won't say we have a shortage. It's important for us to recognize those women, those women, our grandmothers.
Yeah.
But for me, mine would definitely be my mother.
Mm.
And believe it or not, I have a very shy, quiet, mild-mannered, sheepish mother. And most wouldn't believe that because of my larger personality and my outgoingness and my outspokenness and love to get into the front of the screen and in front of the crowd kind of a personality. And I have a mother who's very soft-spoken, very sweet, and truly loves unconditionally. Mm. Unconditional, hands down.
Mm-hmm.
I've come to her with secrets and my own failures, and her only response is, I'll never be disappointed in you because you're my child. Mm. Who says that? I'm like, this woman is melting my heart. Like, lady, you already taken and you're my mother, so I can't do this. But what I've learned from her is that you don't have to be loud and you don't have to be seen. I'm comfortable, you know, being outspoken and mm-hmm. being not necessarily loud in a bad way, but I learned from her that you don't have to be loud to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's something about a spirit of humility.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about being sweet and loving. You know, there's not a person who's met her who hasn't said she's a sweet woman. You know, your mother is so sweet. She's so sweet. She's so nice. All she needs to know, she doesn't even need to know your name. All she needs to be is introduced. And once she's introduced to you, she loves you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's big for me, you know, because that's not me. You know, I am Tori, I am woman, I am here, see me, hear me roar. And she's not that, you know, and I'm often reminded that I don't always have to be that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that you can live life and you can accomplish great things by being a quiet storm, you know. Mm. She was never taken for granted or ran over or any of that. Mm-hmm. But her strength was in her quietness. And so there's nothing like There's nothing like her. So one of the outstanding women to make my list would definitely be my mother, for loving me unconditionally and for showing me that I don't have to be seen and I don't have to be heard to make strides, mm-hmm. and that that you're important even if you're not heard.
Yeah.
You can be important and you can make your mark without being heard. In fact, you make a mark by not being heard. You make a mark by what you do.
Yeah.
And I've learned that from her. Like, one of the strongest women I know, you know. Yeah. Quiet, but just as, you know, and fun and silly, you know.
Yeah.
But complete opposite of me, you know, be like, how'd she get that child?
I feel the same way about my mama.
Yeah.
As far as us being so different. Mm-hmm. Those of you guys that don't know, Tori and I are both only children.
Imagine.
Can you imagine that?
That's why we ain't quiet.
Right.
We had to create people to talk to.
Exactly. But I think it takes a special type of parent to rear well-balanced only child. And mm-hmm. I would say that I think you and I are both well-balanced right. only children.
Yes.
My mother, too, is somebody who is spectacular. And I mean, she's from the same line of my grandmother. You know what I mean? And they're similar women in that regard. And, you know, I feel very lucky in this moment mm-hmm. when I think about that village and hearing your story, hearing your response to your mother. I feel like we probably had some similarities in terms, because I know you had a grandmother who you mm-hmm. were very close to as well. And just having that sort of foundation as far as our rearing is concerned, mm-hmm. having strong women around us, strong black yeah. women as our examples.
Yeah. When I think of my grandmother, mm-hmm. One being my father's mother mm-hmm. and one who biologically wasn't my grandmother. She's my great aunt. Mm. She's my mother's aunt.
Mm.
But I still call her granny. I called her my granny my entire life, mm-hmm. Up until my adult years, until she left us. Mm-hmm. And both of them, my grandmother, who was a teacher, mm-hmm. Proud woman, mm-hmm. Wise woman, you know, definitely. Like, the fact that this woman went to college after raising children and became a teacher in a time, in her day and time, when it was just like pretty much unheard of.
Yeah.
Like, raised your children, raised my father and my aunts, and then went back to school and then became a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say raised, like, I mean, they're like teenagers, you know, mm-hmm. and then went and did what she did and then came back. And just her influence on people, you know, the pastor was not her pastor, but a dear friend of hers who was a pastor was in love with her, you know, and this is in their 80s. And it's because she was wise. Like, he calls her to run his sermon by her,
mm-hmm.
you know, and she always had something wise to say, but very simple. Mm-hmm. You know, she didn't get all creative and crafty with her words. It was very simple.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my very first years of teaching, I would share with her because she'd always answer the phone when I would call. I'm like, hi, Grandma. She'd go, hey, how's my teacher? You know? And I would tell her, you know, California was a little different when I first started teaching. It was when we saw an influx of a lot of immigrant children coming in. And so classrooms started to look differently. So you could have a child in your classroom who spoke no English.
Mm.
And I remember telling her that, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, Grandma, I have a kid in my class. He speaks no English. You know, and she's back in Detroit. And she's like, just teach him. Y'all waste too much time out there with computers and calculators and all. Just teach them, you know. And that was always my motto. After that, when she said that was my motto. You just teach them.
Mm-hmm.
She meant it. Like, for me, she was like, anybody's learnable or teachable,
right?
You know,
right.
You can do that with anyone. And so her strength and her wisdom stands out to me. And then my other grandmother, who was just fun, my granny. You know, mm-hmm. she would dance, have a drink, smoke a cigarette. It was just fun, you know, and that's so important, you know,
yeah.
like just have fun, you know,
yeah.
she could talk the shit and say her bad words and yeah. cuss you good, you know, and get up and go to church on Sunday morning and meant every bit of it, you know, and could cook. And
yeah.
I just take pieces from all of those women.
Yeah.
You know, the three of those women.
Oh, we both yes. have like a little
a triangle. Yes. Yeah. You know, the fabrics of Toria come from Sarah Elizabeth, Lillian Edwards, and Pamela Francis.
Okay.
I love you, ladies.
Mine is Daisy Lee, Johnny, a.k.a. Louise, and Patricia Ann.
Yes. And I have to say Lillian, and she's gone, because if I say Lilla May, she is rolling. And like, don't call me that.
Right. Look, if my granny knew I was using her actual name, she, baby, I changed that legally.
So you can stop right there.
But yeah, I feel so blessed to have had a great grandmother, grandmother, and mother. The same, you know, line. My great granny, my big mama. I had her until I was 19.
Nice.
And yeah, that's our real Black history.
That yes, and I think this was great for Black history. Like, yeah, sisters, just, you know, embrace who you are. Yeah. Reflect on that.
Yeah, and look at those women in your life who have laid your foundation for you. Like, that right there is your real Black history. Yes. I try to encourage folks, you know, sit with your elders and talk to them.
Yes.
Find out your background. Where were they born? Where did they go to school? Mm-hmm. What did they do? What did their parents do? Like, see how far back you can get that information. Yes. Record them. You know what I mean? Write mm-hmm. it down, because that's your real, real history right there.
It is.
You
it
know?
Is.
And that's the one thing about our elders. They came up during a time period. It wasn't all this technology, but that oral storytelling was real and true.
Exactly.
So they can go back.
Yeah.
You know.
And you will learn so much about who you are and what you come from.
Yeah.
So happy Black History Month.
Happy Black History Month, and shout out to all you wonderful Black women out there. And as always, you can find us on blackisonline.com. You can find us on Twitter at blackisonline. You can find us on Facebook at blackismagazine. You can reach us on the hotline at 323-455-4219 or email me at kc@blackisonline.com. This has been the Brown Girl Hour with KC and T.
Thanks for hanging with us. The Brown Girls love you.
Yes, we do. Peace.